Hallelujah. Welcome to Wednesday night family. Family night. Come on, everybody stand on your feet. We're going to give God praise. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Come on and praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noonday. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. We bless your name tonight. Thank you for your presence. Thank you because you're awesome. You're worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh. off the dust of the day. There's healing in the wait. There's healing in the wait. There's peace in the wait. Faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. To see another year. No matter how difficult the year was, you brought us through. And we thank you. You're faithful, oh, so faithful. Hallelujah. And all I have needed, thy say that again. Great is thy. One more time.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Oh, there's a sweet spirit in this place. Thank you for your presence, oh God. Thank you that you are here. We acknowledge you tonight. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for always making a way. You're the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Hallelujah. That is who you are. So we acknowledge you. We honor you. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. We acknowledge you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. So be with us tonight. Bless each heart that is here, every person. May they sense your presence in their lives. May they know that you are in the midst of their lives, working everything out for their good. In Jesus' name, strengthen them in their most holy faith. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's say our affirmation prayer together.
Father, I thank you.
That as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me, and I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers, free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Come on, put those hands together and give God praise. Take a moment and go around and greet a couple of people and just tell them, I love you. We're believing together, heart and soul. Believing together, heart and soul. All right, we got a couple of youth that are going to go back with Naya and I think Ira and Naya's going to go back with them as well. I think they got some goodies back there. I saw something. I don't know. They might have something back there. Hey, Johnny, can you do me a favor? This light right here is blinding me. Center one. Just, if you can just temper it a little bit. Ah, a little more. Ah, whew. Thank you. Trying to charge me for something. Gonna start calling him Charging Charles. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this first edition 2023 of Just One Verse Bible Study. What an awesome way to study the Word of the Lord, and just want to acknowledge my sister, Sonola's sister, Rhonda Johnson, who is here from Houston. Raise your hand, Sister Rhonda. She's been here before. By way of Ghana. So thank God for her being here. All right, you ready? All right, so here's our one verse for tonight. John 16:33. John 16:33. And it reads, here's the New American Standard Bible. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. How many of you want peace? In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. And I'll read it again. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have what? But take what? Courage. Some other versions say what? Be of good cheer. Take heart. Okay, good, good. I have overcome the world. Now, I want to announce to you something today that Mary Horton reminded me of a couple of Sundays ago, and she's going to help us do this. But every month, we are going to have a verse to memorize. We're going to call it, this is what we're going to call it, Hide the Word Monthly Memory Challenge. Hide the Word Monthly Memory Challenge. And for this month, this is going to be the verse. Now, it won't always be something that we're doing on our Wednesday night. Mary Horton has already given me, I think, some scriptures and themes, if you will, for every month through August. So, but for this month, this is the verse. I think it's really good. So I want us to commit this to memory the rest of this month. And by the end of the year, we'll have 12 verses that we have hidden in our heart. Isn't that good? All right, so these things I've spoken to you, so that you may have peace in the world. You have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So the first thing that I want to point out to you in this verse is the first two words, these things. What things? What things is he referring to? Well, in John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, is different than the Synoptic Gospels, and one of the things that is different, really, is the discourse that Jesus gives to the disciples and that John portrays lays out in this gospel. So when Jesus says these things in chapter 16, he's really referring to the discourse that he gives, or that I call it the download, that starts in John the 13th chapter. Okay? John the 13th chapter is the Last Supper, right? The Lord's Supper. And so in chapter 13, Jesus, let me just take you from 13 to 16 real quick, just by way of review. In chapter 13, Jesus, here's what I want to point out. From chapter 13 all the way through chapter 16 is one night. One night. Okay? It's a Holy Ghost download. Jesus is sharing with the disciples those things that he feels are most important. That usually the thing that you want people to remember, you tell them last. Okay? So in chapter 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet and teaches them about servanthood, all right? Just as I have done to you, do to others. He also gives them in chapter 13, starting at verse 34, he gives them a new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. That's a new commandment, because prior to that, the commandment was love your neighbor as yourself. And the problem with that is, people don't love themselves. So how can we go, right? So then in chapter 14, he comforts the disciples. tells them, you know, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Then in, he also says in verse 6, I am the way. It's one of the I am statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He talks about, starting at verse 7, he talks about oneness with the Father. If you've seen the Father, you see me. If you ask anything, verse 14, ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, verse 15. There's a whole lot of stuff. Starting in verse 16, he goes into the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you another comforter. The role of the Holy Spirit, that's a power-packed chapter right there. Speaking of power-pack, then he goes to chapter 15, where he talks about the vine and the branches. Powerful teaching. He's the vine. We are the branches. We have to abide in him. And he in us. And then he talks about in verse 15, chapter 15, beginning at verse 12, he again talks about the relation, disciples' relationship to each other, talking about love, and he sort of repeats what he, the new love commandment that he gave in John 14. Because verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So he repeats that again. I would say that's important. Then he talks about the disciples' relationship to the world, starting in verse 18. The world's going to hate you. They hated me, et cetera, et cetera. Then, verse 16, he reiterates again. He begins in verse 1 by saying, these things I have spoken to you. So he says it in verse 1. And he ends the chapter saying it again. So when he's saying these things in verse 33 of chapter 16, he's talking about everything that he has laid out. These things. Okay? Verse 16, he also repeats again the promise of the Holy Spirit. He predicts his death. And then he talks about the promise of prayer. You'll ask anything in my name and it will be done. So there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that go into our peace. So these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. So here's sort of a simple statement, and that's this. God speaks to us. Jesus spoke to the disciples, all those things. God speaks to us mostly through his word so that we will experience his peace. He wants us to have peace. It's not deep. It's just right. It's just true. The word of God, one of the benefits of the word of God, the truth of God, is that we have peace. It gives us peace. How many of you have, you know, been in a situation where, you know, things are just kind of going crazy and something happened or whatever, and you just either remembered a scripture or you read the word of God and it just triggered something. You triggered your faith, re-energized you. The word of God is powerful. Okay? So God speaks to us so that we can have peace. You can only experience, and notice that it says, so that in me you may have peace. So we cannot truly experience the peace of God unless we're in him. In him. You can only experience God's peace if you are in him. Look at John 14, 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Here's a question. I'll open it up. How would you describe peace, or define it, or, yeah, describe it? Anybody? Not being upset or anxious. All right. Calm. Woosa. Tranquil. Okay. Tranquil, not being anxious. Philippians says be anxious for nothing, right? Yes, Johnny? You can hear the silence in the midst of the noise. Anybody else? Peace. How would you describe peace? Satisfaction. Contentment. Calmness. Harmony. That's good. Good. So what would you say is the opposite of peace? Chaos. Huh? War? Yeah. Worry. Anger. Confusion. The world. Yeah. Yeah. Turmoil. All of those things that you all just described is where the enemy wants us to live. Confusion. Turmoil. Anger. Uptight. Frustrated. Okay? But God gives us His Word, and when we are truly in Him, we can experience true peace. In the, I just got this picture when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and the storm came, the chaos came, the turbulence came. Where was Jesus? Sound asleep. Now, there was somebody on that boat that was experiencing the peace. And they go down and wake him up and say, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Disturbed his peace. And what does he get up? He says three words. Gets up and looks at the storm and says, "Peace, be still." And sometimes that's what he's saying to us. Peace. Be still. That's true. Well, you can be in the boat with Christ and not be in peace. You know, here's my thing about that story. I say it all the time. What the disciples should have done, they should have gone to the bottom of the boat and went to sleep too. You know, if Jesus is not worried, and he ain't going to get worried, then what are we worried about? That's why, you know, Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the very peace of God. There it is. All right? That surpasses all understanding. So we're not going to, so that we don't have to understand everything to experience God's peace. That's where faith comes in. That's where trusting God comes in. Amen? All right? So let's continue. Any other comments on that? The peace of God. Living in the peace of God. Living in that place of peace. You know, you can't be a control freak and be at peace. Right, you can't. You know, If you're that type of person, you have to have everything laid out and understand. You can't. You have to trust. You have to trust God's heart even when you can't trace His hand. In other words, you have to trust Him even when He's not giving you every little detail. Right? Maturity, growth in God. But a new Christian is, I mean, someone who has been serving the Lord for years should be further along in that process than a new believer. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you read scriptures like Philippians 4 and 7, which says be anxious for nothing, right? That doesn't mean you don't experience anxiousness. That means you know how to deal with it. Right? So when that comes, when you feel that coming on, you know, you don't live there. You don't let that overtake you. You just, okay, it's time to pray. I'm going to pray until this anxiousness leaves me and the peace of God comes. Right? So yeah, it is a process. And, you know, even those who are mature in Christ struggle and are challenged and all of that. Exactly. I was going to say that. You know, you would think, you know, if you heard Jesus, if you just heard this man, you didn't know who it was, praying in the garden, you'd think, well, boy, they need some help. You know, because the disciples heard him, Father! Oh, Father! You know, we don't know. I mean, he wept. He cried. I mean, tears. You know? So, we have those moments where we feel overwhelmed, you know, and we don't at that moment feel the peace of God. But as we pray, as we give it to God, as we seek Him, we come to that moment of nevertheless. Nevertheless, not my will, nevertheless, even though I don't understand it, you know what, God, I'm just going to give it to you. Go have me a Coke and a smile. Give it to you. What's that song they used to sing? Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus and you can smile the rest of the day. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, let's move on. In the world, you know, you ever hear those movie trailers? It always starts with "in a world." Well, in the world, Jesus alluded to this in chapter 15, beginning at verse 18. Let me just read that. John 15, verse 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. So the world's not going to necessarily like us. If you were of the world would love its own. The world loves its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. So we are not of this world. Yeah, we're sojourners. Yes, we're passing through. Right? That should be our mindset, that this world is not our home. Okay? And so Jesus says in our key scripture, in the world you have what? Tribulation. So the world, because we're in the world, we're going to experience tribulation. That word tribulation basically means three things: affliction, pressure, and distress. Has anybody ever felt like they were being afflicted? Anybody ever felt like they had pressure? Anybody ever felt in distress? At various moments in our lives, we all experience this in some way. All right? So this is what Jesus is saying. You know, because you are in Christ doesn't mean everything's going to be a bed of roses. You're going to experience affliction. You're going to go through some things. You're going to go through some pressure. You're going to go through some unexpected situations. People are going to misunderstand you. People are going to talk about you. You might even get cussed out sometime. Crazy people on your job. Crazy people in the church. No, I'm just kidding. What's that? Okay, here's another old song. Everywhere you go, there is trouble. Anybody remember that song? The end of it was my oh God is standing by. Basically, it's saying that even though you have trouble, God is always there, standing by. But we experience tribulation, affliction, pressure, and distress. Now, I know this is one verse Bible study, but as you can see, one verse leads to many other verses, and that's a good thing. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Give you a little word, some promises for this whole affliction, pressure, distress thing. What did I say? All right, did I tell you what chapter? No. All right, pick one. Fourth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. And this is, well, let me just read it. I'm going to start reading at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's the bodies that we live in. So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Who has another version of the I want you to read. Somebody read 8 and 9, verse 8 and 9 in another version. Who has another translation? Is that a new King James or New King James? New? You, Dad, you went away from the King? You went? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just Anybody else have another version? You Second Corinthians 4:8-9. What version is that? Oh, the message. That's good. Yeah. The message is going to tell you. It's going to give you the message. That's good. Anybody else? It's all right if you don't have it. But that's those two verses are good. Are good to remember as a way of encouragement, because we're going to experience tribulation. We're going to experience affliction, pressure, and distress. We're going to experience some, scars, if you will, but we're not going to be killed, right? We're going to make it through every situation, every circumstance, every trial. Yes, there'll be some pressure. Yes, there'll be some affliction. Yes, there'll be some distress, but we'll be able to make it out of it. So that's why Jesus says to the disciples, what's the next thing he says right after that? In that verse, 16:33. Take courage, or be of good courage, or take, or what is it, what else? Be of good cheer. How in the world can you be of good cheer when you're being afflicted? Or how can you be of good cheer when you're under pressure and under distressed? How can you be of good cheer? Here's the thing about taking courage. You actually have to do it just like that. You have to grasp hold of courage. You're either losing your courage or you're taking it. You got to take hold of it. You're either being of good courage or you're suffering from the loss of it. You have to take control. You have to take courage. What do I mean by that? 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6 says that David was greatly distressed. The reason he was greatly distressed in 1 Samuel the 30th chapter is because he came home from a battle and his home and was burned down. His family had been kidnapped, and he wept, and the people, his army, they were weeping, and they were talking about stoning him. And David, I mean, you talk about distress. But it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. All right. Yes. 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 Right. Right. Exactly. Yes. Here's a question, and I think you may have asked me this. We were talking last night. You said, how do you encourage yourself? And this is, it's not even, it doesn't have to be a spiritual answer. What ways do you have a go-to, or a few, where you need to shake shake off the distress, whatever. What do you do? How do you what are ways that you encourage yourself? Talk to yourself. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Close it down. All right. Praise. Yeah. Because you're happy and free on Monday. Tuesday. Yes. Yeah. 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. The enemy was coming against Jehoshaphat, and he called for the singers, and the Bible says, as they began to sing. All you got to do is start singing. So praise him. Good. Somebody else. Ways to encourage yourself. Good. I'm going to let you say it so that, because you said a name, people didn't get it.
Dappy T. Keys. If you Google Dapp, well, you can Google it too, but go to YouTube, Dappy, D-A-P-P-Y, the letter T, and Keys, K-E-Y-E-S. Dappy T. Keys, instrumental worship. And, I mean, he has some that are 3 hours long. 8 hours long. So if I'm over, I will even put it on, put it very low to where it's not covered, even if when I'm sleeping. And there are some of them have scriptures that scroll as he plays, and you hear the songs, and a lot of the songs will be familiar, because he's from hymnals to today's, you know, contemporary Christian music. But it's all just, it's so powerful. And I've told that to a number of people when they go and say, hey, put this on. If they don't have, like, Quiet Time CD, but I like Deputy because the length of things, the hours long that it can be, you just have that just playing in your house, just setting the absolute atmosphere. So if you can cause it to shift your atmosphere, because if you, sometimes we sit in the silence of what we're going through, and the enemy just continues to talk. But if you have something or hear something powerful, the word of God going forth, it breaks those things. It really, really does. And I know for me, I've been able to rest and go to sleep with my mind. It's just been bombarded with cares or whatever, you know. So.
Change the atmosphere. Anybody else? No, it's good. You have to be intentional in taking courage, because it's, you know, it's not like courage is going to come up all in your face. You have to take it. You have to go get it. And anybody else? Oop. Take courage. Look at the person next to you and say, "Take courage." All right, we're almost finished. This is the last part. I have overcome the world. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples and to us. We are overcomers. If God has already overcome the world, we are overcomers as well. We've already won. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than than he who is in the world. The context of that, if you read the verses before that, is talking about Antichrist and, you know, false spirits and all that. But we have overcome everything. Everything that can come against us. No weapon that is formed against us can prosper. Okay? The world has a lot of bark, but when it's all said and done, they cannot harm us. Okay? Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, finish that. Who can be against us? And then verse 37 says, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors, overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. More than conquerors. And I'll just close with this verse. 1 John 5:4 says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is it? Our faith. Our faith. So let me just read the verse one more time. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me, you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but take courage, because I have overcome the world. And the church said, amen. Any closing comments, anything? Yes, ma'am.
Saw where they had a sinkhole. I think it was something like 40-something feet or something. Two automobiles with people in them driving. This was in California. And I don't know how long the people were in there, but nobody died. They were able to get them out eventually. And I don't know how hard they were. I mean, bad they were. I know they had to be very shook up because, you know, in California it's been raining so much and everything. But anyway, my friend Ann called me this morning and told me about that, you know. And I didn't have a good sense of where exactly that it was taking place, but I shared that with Ursula when I talked to her today, and she just kind of said, yeah, I hope you have, but, you know, you got potholes and stuff. I told her I was encouraging her to be careful in her driving, you know, because sometimes she goes distance, and this was a little distance from where she lived. It was kind of in the rural, you know, area. But anyway, she got off talking to me. She Googled and found the pictures, and she said, Mom, I was in earlier that evening. She was in the areas where the people were. I mean, she saw the places that she had driven around, and she said somehow she was going to stay there and drive longer, but she decided that she would go back.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for this time. Anybody else before we dismiss? Huh? You got something? All right. Amen. our service this coming Sunday. I want to encourage everyone, if you haven't, to register for the breakfast, family breakfast on the 21st. We want everyone to attend. If you have any issues with registering, the $5, just see me, see whatever. We'll take care of it, okay? We want everyone to attend. It's going to be good. We're going to share the state of the church address. I said the state of the church address. We're going to lay out some things that we're endeavoring to do this year, including some, you know, a few things that we're going to share in terms of Bethel. And so you don't want to miss that. All right? All right. All hearts and minds clear? All right. Lord, thank you for our time tonight. Thank you for your word. Your word is powerful. And God, we thank you for what we've studied tonight, John 16:33. And we are encouraged tonight by your word that even though we may go through tribulation, we can take courage because we are more than conquerors. You have overcome the world, and because we're in you, we are overcomers. We're more than conquerors. So thank you for your word tonight. We pray blessings on everyone that is here, those that are watching live stream, Facebook. We thank you for allowing us to come together and study your word tonight. I pray blessings on everyone, and I pray, God, that you would be with us and bring us back this coming Sunday for an awesome time in your presence. Now I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you real soon. Take courage. Take it.